the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Amos. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and sell the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm today is Psalm 113. Let us read together. Hallelujah. Give praise, you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be blessed from this time forth forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, let the name of the Lord be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who sits enthroned on high, but stoops to behold the heavens and the earth? He takes up the weak out of the dust and lifts up the poor from the ashes. He sets them with the princes, the princes of his people. He makes the woman of a childless house to be a joyful mother of children. A reading from the first letter to Timothy. First of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Seated, please. What am I saying? Stand up. Turn around. No, just stand, please. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and the charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. Then the manager said to him, to himself, what will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do, so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes. So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, and how much do you owe? He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
High King of heaven, when victory is won, may I reach heaven's joys, bright heaven's sun. Heart of my heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Now, guess what? Please be seated. I'm afraid to say what else could be wrong today, what else could go wrong today, because I'll be shown what that is. Excuse me for the extra Episcopal calisthenics this morning. So here's the deal. I hate this parable. I can't say it more plainly. I wasn't going to talk about it at all, except to say that. But then I thought, I know it's not easy for most folks, and maybe I have some kind of obligation as a preacher to comment on it. My intention is this, for this to be my once for all commentary on this story with which Jesus has blessed us. From now on, I was thinking, I can just say, remember that sermon on September 18th, 2022? Yeah, I know. I barely remember my sermon from 2 weeks ago, so that's not going to work. Here goes. I read about 25, 30 pages online from two conservative-leaning and two liberal-leaning commentaries. I mean conservative and liberal here as modifiers of theological approach. Plowing through those, I came across some pretty far-fetched, even outlandish, explications of this difficult story about an incompetent and eventually dishonest manager. I won't go into all of those, but sometimes I marvel at the lengths to which some theologians will go to help Jesus come out smelling like a rose instead of saying, well, he missed the mark here. Not the point he was making, but the way in which he made it, I just can't get it. After all, we remember this is God incarnate, meaning divine and human. And I simply take this as a blip in human judgment. Enough of that already. I'm beginning to feel a little shaky standing in the pulpit and saying such things anyway. Oh, the online websites. They are, for, I said, Got Questions, The Truth of the Matter. Neither of them defines a particular author. Working Preacher, which I often visit, and author of this article is Lois Malcolm. And Sermon Writer, and the author of that is Richard Donovan. These are some things they hold in common about this reading. Unrighteous wealth here does not refer to money made by nefarious means, but merely wealth in general. In other words, that old phrase, filthy lucre, it means just money. Next, the manager is not fired for being dishonest, but incompetent. He squanders the master's wealth. His dishonesty arises in his scheme with the account holders. And finally, I think this is the last of these. Generally, they agree that the rich man, the master, is not being ironic or sarcastic. That's one of the ways people try to explain this away. Oh, well, the landowner winked when he said, well done. They all of these four, and most commentators agree with that, that no, he was being genuinely admiring of the scheme, even though he's the victim of it. My favorite among the four that I've just referred to is Dick Donovan, as his name appears on the website bio. He was an army chaplain for 26 years, including 4 years as, get this, homiletics officer of the whole army, charged with improving preaching in the army. You've got to respect that. His bachelor's degree is from Manhattan Bible College. His Master of Theology he earned at Princeton. Donovan makes the point that the manager's scheme is indeed shrewd, as he seems to have put the master in a tough situation. By heavily discounting the accounts receivable, the manager has probably boosted the reputation of his former boss, setting him up for a greater volume of deals in the future. On the other hand, it certainly cost him some money and goods in the short run. If the boss tries to void the discounts made by his manager, he'll look bad and lose business instead. Same thing if he tries to punish the Wheeler dealer who has now made new friends of those account holders. I'll do a quick run through of the conclusions made by the four commentators. Obviously, there'll be a little bit of repetition. I love the title of these first two websites, Got Questions and Truth of the Matter. No hubris there. It's just, here it is. You've come to the right place. We're going to tell you the way it really is. So, Got Questions says, if God is our master, then our wealth will be at his disposal. In other words, the faithful and just steward whose master is God will employ that wealth in building up the kingdom of God. Truth of the matter. Be faithful over the little Christ gives you by investing in kingdom purposes and not squander it on yourself. As you prove faithful, God will entrust true riches to serving the true master, Jesus Christ. Do not serve money or become a slave to money. Instead, be devoted to Christ and use your wealth to serve Christ and gain friends by promoting the gospel for eternity. Now on to Lois Malcolm at Working Preacher. What this dishonest manager sets in play has analogs with what happens when the reign of God emerges among us. Old hierarchies are overturned and new friendships are established. Indeed, outsiders and those lower down on hierarchies now become the very ones we depend upon to welcome us, not only in their homes in this life, but even in the eternal homes. Richard Donovan at Sermon Writer says, in this parable, the dishonest manager is about to be dismissed from his job, but is wise enough to use his last-minute opportunity to prepare for the future. He does so by doing favors for his master's debtors at his master's expense, knowing that those debtors will incur an obligation to welcome him into their homes after he has been dismissed from his employment. The lesson of the parable is not that we should be dishonest, but that we should use every means at our disposal to prepare for our eternal home. Can we say that's done now? I hope so. And to give Jesus his due, which is a big part of why we're here on a Sunday morning, whatever difficulty this pea-brained preacher has with the parable, Jesus does have us talking about it 2,000 years later. I think a lot of writers and preachers and poets would be happy with just that alone. Well, they're still talking about it. So here's what I wanted to talk about this morning, briefly. You'll be glad to hear. From the Collect, the first seven words, grant us, Lord, not to be anxious. There is more after that, but it's not a bad prayer all by itself. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious. Grant us not to be anxious. We sometimes act as if we believe that being anxious, worried, tied up in knots, and so on, is the solution to a problem. It's not. Trust me. I've tried. And it's only after allowing our anxiety to pass. And the more I go along, the more I believe that's the dynamic at work. We don't fight against it. We don't overcome it. We rightly ask God for grace to allow this anxiety to pass through. After taking a breath, read, opening ourselves to the Spirit. And then we can begin to do something, anything, about whatever problem, real or imagined, we're facing. And I will admit begrudgingly, that's just what the shady manager does in the parable. He has a moment. What shall I do? His moment of anxiety before he thinks more calmly about a plan. The collect gets more specific about anxiety, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. The reading from Isaiah illustrates the earthly things with striking phrases that sound like they could be written today, like buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. We know, all of us, about corporate and personal greed that makes workers, human beings, into little more than widgets in the machinery to make the rich even richer. And if we examine our own lives, as we are indeed called to do, we might even find ways that actions we take for our own comfort take their toll on those who have less, and on this earth of ours that belongs to all of us, and more importantly, to God. Finally, there's the word you were looking for. Finally, Paul speaks to us all in the words he wrote to Timothy. They serve to clarify a goal of all the foregoing, our opening prayer, the prophet, and Jesus' parable, and hold up before us the reason for all that. He writes, "I urge that supplications, prayers, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, in all godliness and dignity. This is right and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to know the knowledge of the truth." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
We believe. pray in thanksgiving with Aubrey Bailey, Alan McInerney, George Pickens, and Melissa Tolliver, who will celebrate their birthdays this week.
And now I invite your petitions, intercessions, or thanksgivings, aloud or silently. I have thanksgiving for Sherry's birthday this week. Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "Peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you." Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and give to us the peace and unity of that heavenly city, wherewith the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God,
we confess our sins against you, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry.
To explain my comment about Technica earlier, whom I just made up, not only do we not have PA here this morning, there's no sound on Zoom, so I guess we're doing everything by mind. I've let them know that we were having technical difficulties, so that was what my movie was. Walk in love as Christ loves us and gave himself for us. Offering and sacrifice to God.
Mm-hmm. 75. We got you. Just do one chalice this morning.
To share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took a cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of you, and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament, and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom.
All this we ask through
now as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Alleluia. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore let us keep the peace.
Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on them your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Restoring us in your image and nourishing us with spiritual food
Holy Trinity make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always.
Amen.